Shus Moradasra Shlita Rabbi Aberman, Mrs. Billauer and the Billauer and the Berliner families. I am first of all honored to have been asked to speak here, and I've been asked to speak in English, and I think I can handle that. Even though I did not know the Nifter, Lazar Yitzchak, Lester Billauer personally, but you can tell a tree by its fruit. And I know the Berliner family since I'm here in Eretz Yisrael, and I know the Billauer family since I'm a child. And therefore I can extrapolate from the fruit what the tree must have been. And that's something very, very special. So it's an honor for me to be able to be here and to speak at this occasion. The topic I was given also is dear to me. The relationship between grandparents and grandchildren in halacha and hashkafa. Kenai Nahara, my wife won't let me say the number, but we're close to 50 Kenai Nahara grandchildren. And so grandchildren are very dear to me. And to speak about the relationship between a grandfather and grandmother and grandchildren is also a topic that interested me very much. And that relationship is very, very special. They say that the Ger Rebbe, the Chedushi Harim, when someone became a grandfather for the first time, or for that matter, a grandmother, he would wish them a special Mazel Tov. And he would say, Mazel Tov, now you're a mensch. Looked at him, until now it wasn't a mensch. He said, no. Every animal has an instinct to take care of its children. Male animals, female animals take care of their children. There is no animal that exists that has a relationship with a grandchild. That's only something for human beings. Only a human being has a connection with a grandchild. And Chazal say that it is part of the psyche of a human being. Rachmei ho'av al haben, as until b'nei bonim. That doesn't mean that people do not have mercy, don't have compassion, don't have a connection with their great-grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren. But what Chazal mean is that the degree of compassion and feeling and connection with a grandchild is exactly equal to what that which is with a child. After that, it's different, different level, not the same. But a parent, the way that he feels for his children is the exact same way that he feels for his grandchildren. And therefore, Chazal learn out that b'nei bonim harehem kebonim, for many things, not for everything. And that's what we'll discuss in the first part, the halacha part. But for many things, children and grandchildren are equal. B'nei bonim harei kehem kibonim. And we learn that from a pasuk. We learn it from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu said, Ephraim u'menashe, kiruvein v'shimun yuli. Even though Ephraim and Menashe were his grandchildren, and Ruvein and Shimon were his immediate children, but he equated them, they're the same. Chazal also learn out in our Gemara, in Bavli, that would only say that the grandchildren from a son is like children. How do you know that grandchildren from a daughter? B'nei banos, b'nei banim harein kibonim. B'nei banos. That we learn from Lavan. Lavan says, Habonai, habonim bonai v'habonos binosai. Lavan didn't have any sons. So who is he referring to? He had two daughters, Rachel and Leah. So who is he referring to? Habonim Bonai must mean his grandchildren, and yet he called them his children. So we see from Lavan that even the children of a daughter are also considered like one's own children. Yerushalmi Taka says that we don't learn from Lavan, either because Lavan did not mean to say that his grandchildren were considered like children, but he considered them all acquisitions of his, like slaves. Or that Lavan was a liar. He didn't consider them. He just lied. Kizev. So we can't learn from Lavan. And there is, therefore, an argument from the Bavli, grandchildren, whether it's from a son or a daughter, are considered like children. And according to the Yerushalmi, it's only grandchildren from a son that are considered like children, not grandchildren from a daughter. The difference is this halacha was said specifically in regarding the mitzvah pruervu. You know, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of having children, a person has to have a son and a daughter. That's the halacha. So the Gemara in Yevama says that if, Rachmana Litzlan, a person had children, but they died. So he doesn't have children now. But they left over children. There are grandchildren. Then a person fulfills the mitzvah with the grandchildren, even though the children did not survive. And according to the Bavli, one fulfills that mitzvah, whether it is children from a son or children from a daughter. However, this is not across the board. Children and grandchildren are not equal for all the halachas. Specifically, a grandfather, or grandmother for that matter, is not responsible for those halachas that a father is responsible for his children. He has to give him a bris, and he has to teach him trade, and he has to teach him how to swim, according to one opinion, and pidyon haben. Those halachas are specific to a father, not to a grandfather. In the secular world, there is such an idea. Grandparents have all of the benefits of grandchildren like children and none of the responsibilities. That's one of the milas of being a grandparent, right? You can send them home when you get tired of them, which you can't do with your own children because they are home. However, there are quite a few halachas that we do say that a grandparent is responsible just like a parent, or that grandchildren are similar to children for those halachas. What are they? I mention a few of them, and then really the main thing that I want to speak about is the hashkafa part of this, the relationship between a grandchild and a grandparent. But let's see some of the halachas at least, since that was the topic. In halacha and hashkafa, I don't want to make the people who wrote the sign liars, so we'll speak about the halacha also. One halacha. Halacha is that if a bas kohen marries a Yisrael, she no longer is allowed to eat truma. Her husband's a Yisrael, and even though when she was a unmarried woman, because of her father, she was allowed to eat truma, she's the daughter of a kohen, but when she marries a Yisrael, she can't. If she gets divorced, or she's widowed, and she has no children, she goes back, and she can eat truma again, right, just as she was when she was an originally unmarried woman. However, if she has children, then she's not allowed to eat truma. What if she had children and they died? But they left over children. She has grandchildren. She also can't eat truma. B'nei bonim harem kebonim. Since she has grandchildren, right, even though she has no children, she does not go back to eat truma. Another halacha. This is one that's not one that anybody is going to be mekayim, but it's there. There's a halacha of mavir b'no bito lemolech. Person burns his child, doesn't really burn him, he passes him over a fire to the avodah zarah called molech. So he's liable to a death penalty. What if instead of his own children, he takes his grandchildren? So the Gemara learns that in this case, b'nei bonim hareim kibonim, that if you pass over grandchildren to the molech, you're also liable to the same death penalty. In regards to the laws of inheritance, a grandchild has the same status of a child. Yibum, person Rachmana Litzlan dies without children, and he has a brother, so there's a mitzvah for the wife to marry, or the brother to marry the wife, or to give her chalitza. If, however, she has children, whether a boy or a girl, then obviously there's no mitzvah of Yibum. What happens if the woman had children, but they died, but they left over children? So now there are grandchildren, also no mitzvah of Yibum, b'nei bonim harheim kebonim, just as if the man left over children, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. If he leaves over grandchildren also, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. The most obvious case, and even though in the Mishnah it's a machlokas, a gemara, it's a machlokas in Kiddushin, but the pasuk seems to say clearly, v'hodatem livonecha v'livnei vonecha yom asher amadeto lifnei Hashem alokecha b'choreth. And the halacha is that a grandparent, grandfather, is required to teach his grandchild Torah. Just like a father teaches his child Torah, his son Torah, a grandfather has to teach his grandson also Torah. Pidyon HaBen. The mitzvah is on the father to redeem his firstborn son. What happens if the father is no longer here? But he has a father. Does the grandfather have a mitzvah to be poda that child? Some hold that the mitzvah reverts to the grandfather, because the grandfather is like the father, because the grandchild was like a child. And others hold no. The grandfather is no different than anyone else. There's an argument whether anyone can redeem that child or not. If anyone can redeem him, the grandfather can. If anyone can't, then the grandfather can't either. Bar mitzvah. Father's not around. Can the grandfather make the Baruch Shep Torani? So we, our minig, I don't know our minig, is not to say Shemu Malchus, not to say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, but Baruch Shep Torani. So if you say Baruch Shep Torani, you could say it right now too. Anybody could say it. So then the minig is, if the father is not around, the grandfather says it. But when you say Shemu Malchus, you mention Hashem's name, then the halacha is a grandfather does not say that bracha. The reason being that since a grandfather is not responsible to educate his grandson, he's responsible to teach him Torah, and he's responsible to teach him Torah even after his bar mitzvah. But he's not responsible to educate him as a minor, and therefore the bracha, according to many opinions, is Baruch Shep Torani, may Onsho Shalazam, no more required to educate that child as a minor. And therefore, since the grandfather never was required, he can't make a bracha that now he's exempt. He was always exempt. How do people relate? There are certain halachas that depend on what people think. Nidorin, person makes a nether. Right? I'm not going to have any enjoyment or give any enjoyment to such and such a person. He says that about children. Does that apply to grandchildren? Do people, when they speak, refer to grandchildren as children or not? If somebody says, I bequeath my property to my children, does that include the grandchildren or not? So the halacha is that it does not. People, when they say children, they mean their immediate children. They don't mean their grandchildren. However, there's an exception. Where a person has no children, and he only has grandchildren, then he calls his grandchildren his children too. Then even Beloshim B'nei Adam, even how people refer to it, they call their grandchildren children in the absence of immediate children. The greatest area in halacha where grandchildren and grandparents are discussed is kibud av va'em. Does a grandchild have a chiyuv to respect a grandfather or a grandmother as they would their parents? If b'nei bonim harem kibonim, then just like a child has to respect his parents, a grandchild has to respect his grandparents. Or maybe not. And here the Shulchan Aruch brings down two different opinions. The Ma'arik holds that a grandchild, for this halacha, a grandchild is not like a child. And therefore, a grandchild does not have to respect the grandparent as he respects a parent. He has to respect the grandparent. First of all, he's older than him. Right? That's mostly the case, right? Usually grandchildren are younger than their grandparents. And in addition, it's an honor to the parent. Right? It's not honorable to the parent not to respect their parents. But as the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, the Maharik holds, that mitzvah doesn't apply. He says, Rashi says it. Rashi says a person is required to honor his father more than he's required to honor his grandfather. The Ramos says, no, there's no proof of there. It's just that the honor of the father is greater than the honor of the grandfather. Just the opposite. From there it seems you have to honor your grandfather too. Or grandmother. The Ramah holds, and most poskim, most achronim hold like the Ramah, that a person is required to honor his grandparent, the same mitzvah of kibud av va'em. However, the mitzvah of honoring your father or mother comes before your grandfather or grandmother. The Tshuva Me'ava, the Talmud of the Noda Yehuda, says an interesting thing. He says that's only where they're not in front of you. And your grandfather asks you to give him honor, and your father asks you to give him honor, your first responsibility is to your father. But if they're both in front of you, and the grandfather and grandfather are in each other's presence, then the father has a mitzvah to yield to his father. He has a mitzvah of kibud av. So then the grandchild has to honor the grandfather first, because that's part of kibud av. Ata v'yavicha chayovim b'chvod ha'av. Both you and your father are required to honor the grandfather. So he comes first when they're in the same place. Zohar, however, nothing is simple. And even though we paskin that a grandchild is required to honor a grandparent, there are differences of opinion. Why? Is it because it's the same exact mitzvah? B'nei bonim harem kibonim, it's the same exact mitzvah. Or is it because, just like it says, kabeid es avicha, and we learn from that an older brother, a in-law parent, parents-in-law, we learn from the es. So we learn for sure a grandparent from that word es. Differences would be, you have to honor your parents. How about to have respect? The mora, there it doesn't say es. According to the second opinion, there would be no mitzvah of mora, and that's pretty much the way it is for a grandparent, only the mitzvah of kovet. You have to feed them and clothe them, but not sit in their place or whatever, the things that come from mora. Also, there's a question whether that is a mitzvah from the Torah or it's only a rabbinic mitzvah. It's because since the grandparent also was involved in bringing you into this world, so the same idea that applies to a parent applies to a grandparent, but that's only rabbinic. It's not really a Torah law. Also, what does that include? Does it include all the laws of Kovet? You have to stand up for them, and you can't call them by name, and so on, and so on, and so on. Or Hidur, just that you have to show them some kind of respect and honor, but not all the laws of Kibud av va'em. Also a question whether it's a expression of honoring the parent to honor their parents, so then only applies when the parent's alive. Once the parent is no longer around and the grandparent is, then there's no more responsibility to honor them according to that. But if the mitzvah is direct to the grandparent, then even if the parent isn't around, there's still a mitzvah to honor the grandparent. The Sefer Hasidim says an interesting thing. The Sefer Hasidim says that someone who lost his parents, Rachmana Litzlan, but the grandparents survived the parents, and the child accepts upon himself to honor his grandparents, the grandparents now take the place of the parents, and it's mamish the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. It's a way to reclaim the mitzvah even though the parents aren't here. The minig is by Svardim to name children for living grandparents, to covet for the grandparent, to name the child the name of the grandparent. By Ashkenazim, we don't name for living grandparents, only for grandparents who are no longer alive. I was thinking, and maybe that's the question, if the mitzvah of kibud of a grandparent is because children and grandchildren are equal, then the mitzvah applies even after death. But if the mitzvah is only a result of honoring your parents, so you honor their parents, then that only applies when they're alive. If they're no longer alive, it doesn't apply. So therefore the Sfaradim hold that me Kain aval Shnei Kain Zelmrim Shalom Losim Shnei Harchakov Kain. Because if that's the case, then the only way that the Sfaradim can fulfill that mitzvah, they do it when they're alive. But for Ashkenazim, that the mitzvah is even after death, so they wait till after death. The truth is that they say there's a different reason. There's an argument whether you're allowed to call someone else by your parent's name. Someone has the same name as your parent, and you're allowed to call them the name in their presence, not in their presence, big shy. So if you name your children the name of a living grandparent, you're always going to be calling your children the name of your parent, which is a shayla. The Sfaradim hold it's okay. And Ashkenazim hold, according to those opinions, not okay. Merely you can't name your children your parents' name as long as they're alive. Okay, those are an overview of the halachas. I'm going to speak about the hashkofa. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, which you're all familiar with, in Mizmor Kuf Kof Ches, Urevonim Levonecha Shalom Al Yisrael. When a person sees children to his children, seeing grandchildren brings Shalom to Klal Yisrael. How so? So I saw some simple ideas. I'm going to tell you something more involved. I saw the Rebbe Mibuchach says the following, very cute idea. He says, parents always think they do more than they have to for their children. And children always think that parents don't do enough for them. So there's no shalom. You know when there's shalom? When you have grandchildren, and the child sees that he thinks he did more than he needs for his children, and the children think he didn't do enough. Then the child realizes, maybe my father was right. And then there's shalom al Yisrael. The Radak says that it's a bracha. Urevonim levonecha arichas yomim. You'll see grandchildren, you'll be around when Mashiach comes, and if you're not, the Rabban Shem will give you tchias ha-meisim. You'll be from the people or the tzaddikim who have tchias ha-meisim even in the time of Mashiach, before the real tchias ha-meisim. The Alkut Me'am Loe says this is the bracha we give a Yirei Shamayim. That whole kapitel Tilim is talking about the Yirei Shamayim. What's the bracha you can give to a person who's a Yirei Shamayim? The same bracha the Gemara says in Tainis, that someone came to a tree with luscious fruits, and it had a Amas Hamayim right by it, and it had shade and everything. So what bracha can I give you? You have everything. My bracha is Shekol Netiyo Shenotim Mimcha Yu Kamosu. All those that come from you should be like you. Urevonim levonecha shalom al Yisrael. That's the bracha we give to Yirei Shamayim. Your grandchildren and great-grandchildren should be just like you. I was thinking of a little bit different idea. What's this idea? Urevonim levonecha shalom al Yisrael. So pasuk in the Torah, Laman tesaper bo'ozne bincha uben bincha eis asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim ve'eso sosai asher samti bom vidatem ki ani asher. The Apirion, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Rav Shlomo Ganzfried, has a Sefer Ala Torah called Apirion. In there he asks the following question. If every father has to teach his son and tell him Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, why does the grandfather have to get involved? Why do I have to tell my grandson? My son is telling my grandson. Every father, I tell my son. My son will tell his son. What does the grandfather have to get involved in saying to the grandson? I have another question. The Torah doesn't waste a letter, let alone a word. Why did the Torah have to say so graphically, Laman tesaper bo'ozne bincha, tell it into his ears? And if it didn't say that, it would tell it to his big toe? Of course you tell it to his ears. Where are you going to have to tell it? So why did the Torah have to say bo'ozne bincha? Says the Apirion, on his question, why did it have to, the grandfather have to tell the grandson? He says the grandfather doesn't have to tell the grandson. It's not what it means. You have to tell your son in such a way that he will be interested and capable of telling his son. Because if you don't tell him like that, if he's not interested and not capable, and it doesn't get to your grandson, then you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not merely to instruct your son, it's to create a link in a chain for the future. And if you didn't make your son a link in that chain, where he's going to give it over to his children, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah with your son. The Ritva says, that's why the Torah tells us, Keneged arba bonim dibra Torah. I need the Torah to tell me there's four different kinds of children. Right? It's all different kinds of children. You have to know your child, and what does this one ask, and how do you give the answer? Says the Ritva, if you don't make the story tailor-made to the intellect and personality of your child, that he can understand it according to his intellect, and he's interested in accepting it according to his personality, if you give an answer that befits a chacham to a tipish, it's over his head. He won't understand it. If you speak to the chacham like you speak to a tipish, oversimplified, it'll bore him to death. If you answer a rasha the way you're supposed to speak to a tzaddik, or vice versa, you won't get through to him. So you have to know the character of your child. You have to know the intellect of your child, and you have to tailor make the story to him. That's what it means. L'mantasaper bo'oznei bincha. It has to go into his ears. It can't go over his head. It can't just be floating in the air, a generic story. You want to create a link in a chain for the future. You have to make sure that it goes into that child's ears based on what he can understand and how he can understand it. So a father has to be sensitive to his child. He has to be sensitive to his personality, to his ability, intellectual ability, in order to give over Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what it says. U're'ei vonim livonecho. Re'ei doesn't mean just to see. It means to understand. Ro'a anias divrei admo. It means to understand something. U're'ei vonim livonecho. A grandfather has the ability. He has to be able to know his own son. He has to be able to know his capabilities, his personality, and be able to educate him. But a grandfather has the maila of being able to guide his son. How to guide his grandchild to. He can still get involved. He doesn't have to speak to the grandchild. But he has to be able to guide his son. He knows how to reach his son. Now he knows how to guide his son. How to get through to his son. So a grandparent has that sensitivity of knowing his children. And it extends also to knowing his grandchildren also. And if that's the case, you can understand why the end of the pasuk is, Vidatem ki ani Hashem. It should say, V'yedu. You know it already. You're telling it to them. You don't have to know it. You're giving it over to your children and grandchildren. It should say, V'yedu, and they'll know. Why Vidatem? All of you will know. Because when a grandfather has to tailor-make the story to fit his child's intellect and emotional makeup, and he has to guide his child to give it over to his child in a similar way, then the grandfather knows the story better. Because in order to be able to give it over to convince somebody else, you convince yourself a lot more too. So vidatem ki ani Hashem. It's not only viyedu, not only they'll know, you'll know also better. And that's what the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, or Psham Shemfuel Hirsch, by the way. It says the same idea as the Piryon, ure'ei vonim levonecha, when a person sees that his grandchildren are going in the same direction that he educated his children, that it's carrying on to the next generation, then Shalom al Yisrael, then a grandfather can feel confident that he can even leave this world, but he knows there's going to be a continuation, there's going to be a hemshich of what he put effort into his own children. It's going to continue with his grandchildren too. Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Kol mi shehu Talmud Chacham, ubeno Talmud Chacham, Uben beno Talmud Chacham. Az chozer ha-Torah lachsan yoshalo shenemar lo yomushu mipicho, mipizaracho, mipizerazaracho, me'ato v'ad olam. And the Gemara says, what's me'ato v'ad olam? The Rabban Shalom says, I'm the Orev, I'm the guarantor. That doesn't mean that if a person's a Talmud Chacham and his child's a Talmud Chacham, that for sure his grandchild's going to be a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't even mean his child's going to be. It says in Pirkei Avos, she'ein ha-Torah yerushalach. You don't inherit Torah. You have to put in a lot of effort. But it's, the Nefesh HaChaim says, Chaim Voloshiner says, it's like an achsanya. Achsanya means it's like a guest. You have to open the door for the guest. Right? The guest is there, but you have to open in, invite him in. Right? The Torah is going to be a guest in your family, but if they don't invite him in, it's not going to help. The Ketzel Sachoshin says, it's like the difference between a fire that comes from straw and a fire that comes from a log. Straw, the fire burns, and that's it. It goes out. But when you have a log that's burning, the fire may go out on the outside, but there's still burning embers on the inside that hours later may come up again. So too, in a family where the father was successful with his children, and the children with their children, and it's gone already three generations, it may not continue automatically, but somewhere along the line, those embers are going to rekindle, and there's going to be another flame. It's there. It's there potentially. And that is the basic idea. The idea is that a father who knew how to ingrain what he was in his children and guided them to ingrain it into their children, it becomes part and parcel of the essence of that family. And it's not only Torah. It's not only a Talmud Chacham. But a father who put into his children to be medaktik in mitzvahs, to be medaktik in tefillah, to be medaktik in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. As we heard from the Rav. So that also continues on. Because if a father knew how to ingrain those things in his children, and he was able to guide them to ingrain them in their children, then those midos tovos, those character traits, those mitzvahs that a person's medayik in become part and parcel of the family also. It doesn't only apply to Torah study. But there's another aspect. This is what the grandfather does for the grandchild. Or the grandchild does for the grandfather. By carrying on the tradition. So it strengthens even the grandfather. It's a strengthening of the family. There's another idea. And this is what the grandfather does for the grandchild in another way. It says, "V'hodatem levonecha v'levnei vonecha, yom asher amadit lefnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev." One of the concepts of Torah study is that the Rebbe connects the Talmud to Maimon Har Sinai. Torah study is different than science. Science is an accumulated knowledge. Every generation, dor l'dor yishabach masecha. Every generation adds and improves on what the generation before did. Generation before, made the tape recorders, then there were MP3s, then who knows what, right? Everyone builds on the accumulated knowledge. Torah is revealed knowledge. It was given at Har Sinai, and every generation goes down a little bit, and you have to be connected to that original Mesorah of Har Sinai. They tell the story, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, was once on an airplane with one of his sons and some grandchildren. And they served him like a king the whole flight. They came, brought him his slippers, brought him his food, whatever, constantly doting on him. He was sitting next to a secular Israeli journalist. And the journalist finally couldn't take it anymore. And he turns to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and he says, "I envy you. Your children and grandchildren treat you like a king. My children and grandchildren barely have any connection to me." So Rabbi Yaakov said, "It's very simple. Why?" He said, "I'll tell you why." He said, "We believe that we all descend from Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was the handiwork of God himself. So my children look at me as one step closer to Adam HaRishon, to God's handiwork. My grandchildren look at me as two steps closer. So they look up with me at awe. I'm two steps closer to them, to Yetzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God's handiwork. You believe in evolution. You descended from an ape. Your children look at you as one step closer to an ape. Your grandchildren look at you as two steps closer to an ape. Why should they respect you?" When you're dealing with Mesorah, when you're dealing with what came to begin with, is what everything emanates from. So there's an idea of being mechabe, those who are closer to the Mesorah. When a grandfather, it says, When a grandfather teaches a grandchild, so kol hamalamed is ben beno Torah ki'ilu kiblo mehar Sinai. Because you're bringing him one step closer. What his father teaches him is one step removed from that mesorah, from the source. The grandfather brings him one step closer than the father to the source. So it's as if he received it directly from Har Sinai. The same thing goes with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We weren't there. But we heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody all the way back to the people who were there. It makes it real to us. But if I hear it from my grandfather, he was one step closer to the people who were there than my father. It makes it more real to me. And therefore, the grandchild finds chizuk by having a connection to the grandfather who's one link closer to the foundation of Jewish tradition. Whether it be Yetzias Mitzrayim, whether it be Maimed Har Sinai, that, or to Adam Harishon. That's why grandchildren benefit from their grandparents. It says Shaul HaMelech was Zoche to Malchus because his grandfather Ner, Avner ben Ner, right, used to bring and light, illuminate the what's it called, Bote Midrashos and Bote Knesios. That's what it means. Urei vonim levonecha shalom al Yisrael. When does Klal Yisrael reach shalom, shleimus, perfection? When there is a close connection between grandchildren and grandparents. Because the grandparents give the grandchildren a closer connection to the Jewish past, and the grandchildren give the grandparents a connection to the Jewish future. That's the connection between grandparents and grandchildren. Bringing them to the past, bringing them to the future. I just want to end with a thought that I said many years ago, and it applies here for sure. I think your Mor Das is going to like this idea. Avraham Avinu was given a mitzvah of Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha me'artzecha, mi'moladetecha, mi'beis avicha. He had to go from his land, his birthplace, from his father's home. If you think about it, Avraham Avinu wasn't Mekayim, all of those things. He left. But his birthplace was still outside of Eretz Yisrael. He basically left his land and he made his land Eretz Yisrael. But he couldn't change his birthplace. He was still born in Chutz Laaretz. So he left Moladetecha, but he didn't really leave it. His Moladetecha was Chutz Laaretz. His Beis Avicha was still in Chutz Laaretz. That's why we say, Ve'escho legoi gadol zeu sha'omrim elokei Avraham. Avraham Avinu reached one level. I'll make you into a great nation. What's a great nation? A nation lives in Eretz Yisrael. How do I know that? Because the Yam HaGodol, Godol, what's Godol? Why is the Yam HaGodol? It's a drop in the bucket compared to the Pacific and the Atlantic. Why is it called the Yam HaGodol, the Mediterranean, says the Gemara? Because a portion of it washes up on the shores of Eretz Yisrael. That gives it godless. So Avraham Avinu left Chutz Laaretz. He came to Eretz Yisrael. He's a Godol. That was Mekoyim by Avraham Avinu, but nothing more. Comes Yitzchak, and he's Mekayim the second thing. The second thing is Moladetecha. Yitzchak Avinu was born in Eretz Yisrael. So he is Mekayim mi Moladetecha. He left the Moledes of Chutz Laaretz, and he was born in Eretz Yisrael. He has no Moledes in Chutz Laaretz. That's Vavorechecha. There's a special bracha. Person, where he's born, when he's born, gets a bracha of the mazel of the place. The bracha of Eretz Yisrael is chal on the person who's born there. Yitzchak was the first one born in Eretz Yisrael. So he was Mekayim Moladetecha. But he still had a grandfather in Chutz Laaretz. Terach was still in Chutz Laaretz. He was still around in Yitzchak. By Yitzchak's bris. So he had still had Beis Avicha, was still in Chutz Laaretz. Because the Beis Avicha goes back to the grandparent. After that, it's disconnected. Who was the one who was Mekayim Umibes Avicha? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was not only born in Eretz Yisrael, but his whole Beis Abba, his father and grandfather, were in Eretz Yisrael. And he had no more connection to anybody in Chutz Laaretz. That's why by Yaakov it says, right, the Agadlo Shmecha, make your name great, Because now his name was Yaakov, Ben Yitzchak, Ben Avraham. Everybody's great. Nobody, no connection anymore to Chutzal. It takes three generations. The people who come here to begin with, they leave Arzecha, but they didn't leave Moladetecha, and they still have a Beis Avicha. The next generation has a Moladetecha, but they still have a Beis Avicha, maybe in Chutzlaritz. It's only the third generation, the grandchildren of the people who made Aliyah, that are Mekayim, all three things. However, Gemara says, I might think, therefore, that you make the bracha, Mogein, Avraham, Yitzchak, Ve'Yaakov. Ve'heye bracha, b'cho chosmim, v'lo chosmim. Why? Because it's that first generation that had the guts to pick up from Arzecha and come here, that all the potential for everything that came afterwards because of them. It's because of them that the next generation was born here, and the next generation has its base Abba here, and therefore the bracha is Avram, Magin Avram. Even though it's not Mekuyim, the potential doesn't come out until the third generation, but you know where it comes from that Gibor, person like Lester Billauer, who had the guts, you heard, Shimon, see? The guts to leave a good job, New York Times, wow. I don't know how great the New York Times is, but it's a big place. It's at least Gashmias-wise, big place. Ruchnias-wise, it's a very small place. But it takes a lot of guts to do that. But all the next generation and the generation after that, lo yamushu mipicho, mipizarecho, mipizerezarecho, all is in the potential of that person. I just want to end. Moshe Yes put out a lot of songs. People remember him. And he had a song that I used to love to sing when I was just got married. It's called My Zaidi. And the last verse of that song was, who will be the Zaidi of our children? Who will be the Zaidi if not we? If not us. Person has to raise his children that one day they'll be Zaydis too. And it's all in the potential. And the potential of the parents and the children, the grandchildren, those same grandchildren someday will be grandparents. And that is the continuity of Klal Yisrael. And to have a grandfather of the caliber of Lester Billauer, and I know the next generation, and I can understand what their children are like. So that is lo yamushu mipicha, mipizarecho, mipizerezarecho. That is the greatest schus le'ilui nishmaso, that continuity, that a grandfather is able to urei vonim levonecha, to be able to see and understand his children, guide them how to guide their children, and that way the shalom al Yisrael, that is the shleimus, that's the continuity of Klal Yisrael, ad bias goel tzedek, meherav yameinu.